This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Across the U.S. with a lot of signs saying justice for Tyree, and we're talking about Tyree Nichols' death, what happened in Memphis, and what ultimately will happen to that unit that is getting disbanded that was responsible for the death of Tyree Nichols, and the outrage and the outpouring of trying to do something through a GoFundMe page. Well, over $1 million has been raised there. The debt limit, no answers to that, and where we're getting the money to pay those bills once we hit June, unless somebody comes up with some sort of a compromise. And we have two teams that are left going to the Super Bowl. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Thanks for hanging with us on this show. So it's been a wild weekend. A lot of dialogue for sure over Tyree Nichols. And if you don't know the story is so incredibly, incredibly sad. Looking at the mother of Nichols and hearing her speak, and five Memphis police officers charged with beating her son, which, by the way, Tyree Nichols, a black man, the officers all black, and she says it's just compounding the sorrow as she tries to cope with his violent death at 29 years old. And this widely viewed video of the Nichols beating has become part of the conversation now as to what happened here. The Memphis Police Department has about 2,000 officers, 58% black. This is the result of decades and decades of efforts to field a police force that resembles the population, which is 64% black. And in this case, they talk about a special unit that was formed to do what they could do to shut down some of, the best way to describe it, to shut down some of the violent situations that were happening. The Scorpion unit, which emerged as Memphis was trying to get tough on crime, and now they're talking about whether it was just flawed from the start. They looked at homicide numbers that were rising and rising and rising. They were watching drivers buzz crazily fast through the streets at late at night, and reckless driving, violent offenders of all sorts. And so they came up with the Scorpion unit to restore, it basically is street crimes operation to restore peace in our neighborhoods. And the idea was deploying 40 officers as a strike team in some of the more volatile corners of the city. But now you have the arrest and killing of Tyree Nichols, the video footage that was released that showed, and this is what happened when he was stopped, the officers kicked and punched and used a baton to beat him as he pleaded with them to let him go. And then he died a couple of days later after that. So as the city was touting this team, which these police officers were all part of, as a key to their crime-fighting strategy, promoting it because of the amount of murders. To give you an idea, Memphis recorded more than 300 murders in 2021. By comparison, it's a small city. New York City, our biggest city, 13 times larger, had fewer than 500, right? So the video footage, like I keep saying, has drawn a lot of shock, I think, over what people are seeing and trying to figure out how is this this pullover lead ultimately to this. So, you know, a traffic stop ending up this way, and there's just more and more debates about that, the punching, the kicking, you know, the things that that happened. And the police say, look, we stopped him on the night of January 7th on suspicion of reckless driving. And the chief told NBC that the department was unable to find evidence for why he had been stopped. And video showed officers surrounding his car at an intersection, cursing at him, pulling him out of the driver's side door. And he was speaking kind of calmly and calmly from what I saw, trying to de-escalate the situation. They continued to yell at him, beat him like I described. He was taken to the hospital in critical condition and died 3 days later. And the autopsy found that he suffered extensive bleeding caused by severe beating. So as they were building up this crime unit, now all of these officers are part of the crime unit, and it comes back to that same thing. What do they do? So Memphis police disband the unit whose officers were charged in that death. Very sad all the way around in this, in this story. What do you do when your city is riddled with crime, and what led to that particular unit that was having some success to spiral the way that it did? It's a big win for Philadelphia. They beat San Francisco 31-7. They claim the NFC Championship title. As for the Philly beating San Francisco, it was one of those games where San Francisco also suffered terrible injuries, losing their quarterback to an elbow injury. Then the fourth quarterback on the roster to come in, then he gets hurt. So then you go back to Brock Purdy, who was chosen last in the draft, the rookie quarterback, the sensation, who was playing with a hurt elbow. So they could not get done what they had hoped to get done, and Philadelphia took advantage of it. So fair and square, they end up going to the Super Bowl. Pat Mahomes leads the Kansas City Chiefs back to the Super Bowl. He was hampered, too, at a high ankle sprain. You could tell, you could see him limping a little bit in the couple of things that happened on the field. But the Chiefs did what they had to do, and they got over the hump because Cincinnati had their number in the past, but the jinx is done. They go to the Super Bowl with an exciting, thrilling finish at the end. A kick is just a kick until it goes through with 3 seconds left. And that was it for the Bengals, and the Chiefs move on. So, again, our biggest game in this country where millions of people tune in, millions and millions and millions of people, usually some of the highest ratings of anything on the tube or, of course, streaming. That is all set to happen, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. Where will you be watching the Super Bowl? Stay with us coming up. We got some great authors and a conversation about what's happening in the world of entertainment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
This a little of that, but entertainment-wise, it's interesting because a lot of January is about getting back to whatever your routine is or new routines are or resolutions that you made and big goals and dreams, and you get it. That's what people do when the ball drops and the champagne flows. And you notice that there, you drive by movie theaters and it seems like the parking lots are pretty full, more than usual, I think. So Avatar, The Way of Water, number one spot on the domestic box office charts for the seventh week in a row, an additional $15.7 million. So this is $2.1 billion. I mean, it's grossed that much so far. And it passed Star Wars, the latest Star Wars, The Force Awakens, anyway, to become the fourth highest grossing film of all time. Wow. What's crazy is that James Cameron, this guy that directed it, has directed, of the four highest grossing films of all time, he's directed three of them. Yeah. So I'd like to go to his Super Bowl party. Imagine what they serve there. Money is no object. Just come, just show up. And it took a long time to come up with this second sequel. I guess I'll call it the sequel of Avatar. But sure enough, it has people curious enough that they're willing to go and sit through 3+ hours by the time it's all said and done. I have not seen it yet. And part of the reason is because I'm too busy to spend, and I like movies, it's a great escape, but to spend that much time in the theater. And so I haven't seen it. To give you a full non-cheap movie review of this one, but it's released all over the place and people are digging it. Of course, younger people, but not just younger people, because there are people of all ages that saw the original Avatar and want to come back, I think, for that sequel. It has that appeal. And they're talking about maybe three more Avatars, you know, doing three more of these and maybe even more than that. And, of course, that's the deal in Hollywood, right? If you make a little money on whatever the project is and you know you have the audience, it's like Marvel and the theory of the superheroes, that's what you're going back to. Going back to it because it works. So because it works, that's exactly what you can expect to see, probably, you know, more and more and more and more of these. There's a lot of interest in Prince Harry and Prince Harry's book Spare, and he and his former actress wife Meghan Markle, who did the 6-part series on Netflix. And here we are in America, and it's like somebody brought it up where I was watching the NFC Championship game today, and it's like my brother said, do we in America, do we care about the Royals? Is that relevant? But it must be somewhat relatable or interesting. I don't know how it's relatable, but interesting to people, because Spare has just raked in the dough. I mean, people can't get enough of this book. You know, it was announced like in 2021 that he's going to publish a memoir with Penguin Random House, and that the sales were going to charity, and that he was going to get at least $20 million. He's going to get advance of like $20 million. This is a long book. Because I was sent a copy of it, 416 pages. Now, it is in audio, too, right? So he reads it in his own voice. He reads it. And it's gotten kind of mixed reviews, generally speaking. Some praise his openness. Some were critical of too many personal details. But Spare, according to the Guinness World Records, has become the fastest-selling nonfiction book of all time. Of all time. So do you think the publishers think that they bet on the right prince to do the memoirs of him, of Harry? And of course they have. So there is interest in the royals because somebody is buying these books, or they wouldn't be selling them the way they're selling them. And who knows how many printings ultimately they'll have. I mean, the major theme throughout the book is his resentment of being the spare, of being the spare heir. And most of the chapters are about his life, his education, working in the royal family, working royal, I guess, the British Army, which, hey, he did do that legitimately. There's no question. And he talks about that, which is, that part is fascinating. His relationship with his parents and brother and wife and all the things that happened there, and a lot about his mother and her death and things that he did, his deployment, like I mentioned, to Afghanistan, detailing the tours of duty in Afghanistan. He flew on 6 missions that killed 25 Taliban members, that kind of thing. So is it relevant? I don't know. I mean, is it interesting to people? Yes, because of the sales. I mean, you judge it by that. And that's the thing. I mean, isn't, when we measure entertainment especially, there is a scoreboard. There is a score, like everything in life, right? There is a scoreboard, and we saw it with Avatar, which I mentioned. We see it with how many of the spare books are being sold, and the answer is it's off the charts, as I said. To be the best non-selling, the fastest-selling non-fiction book, that certainly tells you something there. And there must be a fascination with it. There certainly is the interest. There was the interest for Avatar as well. I mentioned the football games. I hear people say, you know, we do a sports segment here, and I always have people interested in that, even if they're not super interested in sports. They'll say, oh, I like the man cave. I like to hear the things that are happening, and I like my hometown team, even though I'm not a huge football fan or whatever it is. But there's no question that the NFL is a huge draw. It's like the Super Bowl. We're getting ready for the Super Bowl, and how many people will watch the Super Bowl? And the answer is, it's phenomenal, the amount of people. Early projections for this game that will pit the Chiefs against the Eagles, they're suggesting that more than 120 million people will watch the game. And then, you know, you look back on previous Super Bowls and how many people watch those Super Bowls, and the numbers usually continue to increase or be pretty high, and they're well over that mark that I said, you know, then that 100 million mark or close to the 100 million mark. And, you know, the third most watched Super Bowl was Super Bowl 50, where the Denver Broncos beat the Panthers 24-10. 111 million plus. That was back in 2016. So, of course, the money flows there because the Super Bowl ads cost a fortune to get the 30 or 60 second ads because they're not going to sell them for nothing because they know they're going to get the eyeballs. And that is entertainment, isn't it? It absolutely is. What sells and what people are interested in is kind of a microcosm, I think, of society. And then everybody's different as to what they prefer. But the big chunks of pie are always going to get the most attention, right? Always. And that's the reason when we look at the NFL, the reason you look at how many people place bets, the reason why we argue about legalized gambling, and then we see how now this is starting to happen in different places. There are more casinos that are popping up, but there are more. Will they take the sports books? Will they take that action, or is it more still the bookies? And the answer to that is no. There's ways that you can make bets, of course, online. It's just food for thought. Two great authors coming up next.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. The man who attacked Paul Pelosi isn't apologizing for what he did. He's apologizing for what he didn't do. Dave DePapp phoned a San Francisco TV station Friday from jail and told the reporter he was so sorry that he, quote, didn't get more of them. DePape has pleaded not guilty and is scheduled to be back in court next month. Four civilians are reported dead after Russian shellings of two Ukrainian cities. President Zelensky says three people were killed in the southern city of Kherson. At least 41 people are dead after a bus crash in Pakistan. The bus fell into a ravine and caught on fire in the southern part of the country. The Chiefs and Eagles will meet for Super Bowl 57. Kansas City needed a last-second 45-yard field goal to best the Bengals 23-20. The Eagles had no trouble with the Niners earlier in the day, 31-7. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Heard him. I know you've seen him. Think of KFC, Colonel Sanders. Think of George Washington crossing the Delaware. Since I grew up in that area, one of my favorites, the Geico commercial. But way more than that, he's been in so many films. He's done so many voices. Jim Meskimen is joining us in just a minute, and he's going to portray Phil Donahue in a new film called Welcome to Chippendales, and it's got an interesting cast, too. A lot of names that you would recognize. And plus, we want to talk to him about TikTok. 5 million viewers in 5 days. Wow. Jim, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Great to talk to you.
So let's talk about voices and how you knew you had this gift. How did you hone that skill?
Well, you know, I was a little kid that I grew up in an acting household, so it was fun to do and considered fun and acceptable and tolerable to do accents and funny voices and impressions, which I don't think is true in every household, but in our household it was fine to do it. You know, it was understood. And my sister and I used to play around. My mom is an actress, so she would do. She's very good at accents and characters and stuff. So we would, it was just something that I learned early on was an avenue of play. And just like other things you do when you're a little kid, you just do it because it's fun. And then, I don't know, you start to put in a lot of hours on it. And when I was in my 20s, I realized that I had a little bit of a leg up on other performers in that area. So I pursued a career in voiceover. And eventually that grew into an acting career, and you know, here I am today, many years later, still doing the same stuff.
That's great.
I've advanced not even a yard on the field, but it is fun.
So, and of course, your mom is Marion Ross, Happy Days fame, and lots of films that she's been in. And you're right. Now, as soon as you said that, it triggered in me. Yes, she's done tons of accents. Do you remember the first character, the first person you really nailed that you felt like, oh, I really have this?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I played around with it a lot, but I remember distinctly that, when All in the Family was on, and before my voice had changed, I could do a pretty good Edith Bunker. And I thought, yeah, that sounds pretty good. So I began to develop confidence that way. And boy, geez, when I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s, it was a kind of a golden age of impressionists. We had Rich Little on TV all the time and others. The political voices of the day were always being mimicked by different comedians. And so I never had an idea even in my youth that it would be the sort of thing I would do for a living. But I did appreciate it a lot just as an art form. And I think I still understand the magical effect that it has on people when you suddenly change into another person very dramatically. And you bring that person, like Patrick Stewart, into the room. And whereas he was not there before, he most certainly is now. You know, and that's just a sort of a tool that audiences are very delighted by.
Oh, one of my favorites. I have to ask you about this Gaslit. I loved that series. It was wonderful. And you played Senator Gurney. What was that experience like for you?
I had a great time. I was sort of amazed that I got the role. It was a very big, prestigious, limited series on Stars with a couple of Oscar winners at the helm. So Julia Roberts, Sean Penn, I got to work with both of them. And, gosh, it was very exciting. The director, Matt Ross, was excellent director. He's an actor himself, so he knows how to speak to actors in a way that's, you know, doesn't waste anybody's time. And, Sean Penn was under so much prosthetic makeup that I found, which was very artful and beautiful. And if you've seen his look, it's just extraordinary. I found that the lucky thing about that for me was that I was not at all starstruck because Sean Penn was not in the building as far as I was concerned.
Wow, what high praise that is, because he transformed himself completely.
He did, and the great makeup designer, one of the best on the planet today, Kazuhiro, designed that makeup, and I met Kazu back in when we were like 1999 working on The Grinch, because he was helping out Rick Baker at that point. So it was a nice reunion to see Kazuhiro.
Tell us about the listeners about TikTok and the 5 million views and doing that and looping that all together.
Well, I'm always looking for new ways to reach people with my content, with my impressions, and just any creative idea I have. I'm one of these people that, despite my advanced years, has really embraced social media, particularly YouTube and now TikTok, because I love to create all the time. It's what I love to do. I have, as you can see, I'm in a booth. I do a lot of sound recordings. I have a little area in the back where I do video recordings. And so TikTok, which I just was scratching my head over for the longest time, I just decided to really kind of hunker down and see what could be done. And I was admiring a lot of the work that was done on TikTok, and it frankly makes me laugh a lot. And it's just full of interesting distractions, which, of course, have their upside and downside. But I started to really just sort of look at what other people who do impressions were doing and taking a stab at it myself. And, it was very exciting a couple weeks ago. I had, a video that took off pretty good. And, it's now at 7.5 million views, that one that we launched less than a month ago. And I picked up a lot of followers, which is nice, you know, and, flattering. And hopefully they'll continue to be interested in what, nonsense I put out. And then just yesterday we had another one that went viral. It's at, 2 million views. So we have high hopes for that. I'm, you know, I think now people are digesting their entertainment and getting it in all sources. We definitely need a little lift every now and then. You know, life is very serious and grim sometimes. And the upside of these platforms like TikTok and Instagram and YouTube is that we can share ideas and aesthetic concepts and fun and humor very swiftly. Yeah. And you know, hopefully help each other over the bumps and sharp stones and edges of life.
And from the acting, voiceover, impressionist point of view, and like you say, you're a content curator, besides all the followers you're getting and more people knowing maybe who you are, that has to help too in the business, because that's putting you out there and other people maybe discovering you and thinking, oh, Jim, that's right, he'd be perfect for this role.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm planning on that being correct. I would like that to be the case. So we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I've had the experience where, you know, I go in for, like, say, a commercial audition or something, and I do the audition, and the director says, hey, I love all your stuff on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, that's very booing. And then, of course, when you don't get the job, you're wondering, well, I guess somebody came along and had even more amazing content and more followers, whatever. You know, in the arts and the producers, you know, the business people, the suits, I think they're always looking for metrics that will support their, you know, their opinion of why someone would be better than another person. So I don't think it hurts to have a little bit of popularity on a platform.
Yeah. How about what's coming up, Phil Donahue? Tell us about that project.
Yeah, so that's a limited series. This is, this is my Phil Donahue voice, for better or for worse. This is what I came up with, to kind of evoke this, very, very revered and, respected, I don't know what you call him now. He's not an anchor man. He's a guy that would walk up and down and talk to people, just ordinary people and unusual people, like the Chippendales dancers. So this series, which you mentioned, has a lot of a really terrific cast, including my friend Juliette Lewis, is the story of the Chippendales dancers, which you'd think would be kind of frothy and, I don't know, is silly and lighthearted, and but it's not. It's pretty dark. So I've not seen the whole thing, so I can't speak to it too much. But when they are introduced to America, it is via the old Phil Donahue show, and they needed somebody to portray Phil Donahue, and I auditioned and got the role, and it was super fun to do. I had a great time, and I've never seen so many Chippendales dancers dancing so long. I spent a whole day watching Chippendales dancers going at it, and also it was in a big room full of a big set full of women dressed like it was 1989. And it was gorgeous to see because, you know, I remember that period and the styles, I mean, the makeup department, the wardrobe department, the hair department, they really went to it. You know, they went above and beyond and created a room full of screaming, you know, clutching, pawing women that looked just like 1989. It was gorgeous.
Oh, I love that. You put that image into my head now. Thank you very much. So you have fun, obviously, all day long at what you do, and you set that up when you talked about being a kid. What else do you do for fun? I mean, how do you get away from, okay, I'm not doing any content today. I'm just going to walk on the beach. I'm going to take a breath.
I've been working on getting just more physically fit, and I've been enjoying it really a lot. So I do that, and I'm a visual artist also, not to sound like a complete pain in the butt, but I have been a cartoonist and an illustrator and a painter all my life. And that was my first profession and the road I really thought I was going to go down until I, you know, caught the acting bug for real.
Thank you so much, Jim Meskimo. We wish you the best in all your endeavors, and thanks for spending some time with us.
My great pleasure. Thank you very much, Kate. I'll see you around.
See you.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Eva Beatty is in our virtual green room. We're pleased to welcome her to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, because she's got such an interesting story to tell, and her novels will pull you away. And what do I mean by that? Take you to another place. And isn't that what we want to do when we really dive into a good, good story? So the first book we're going to talk about is Maggie's Bed and Breakfast Story. And then we're going to talk about the book of Scattered Memories. So, Eva, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about your road to writing these novels. First of all, did you ever think that you were going to be a writer?
No, actually I didn't. This was kind of a hobby. It gave me something to do. You know, I just kind of, my kids grew up and left the house, and I thought it would be fun to write a book, and I found a program online to help me do it, and that's how I started.
So it's interesting because there is a tie, I think, in your mind to Maggie's Bed and Breakfast Story because of you and your sister and kind of dreaming about a bed and breakfast. Tell us about that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, me and my sister, we used to go for walks in the morning, and we'd see these big, beautiful homes, you know, and we would joke about, you know, that would be the perfect bed and breakfast. You know, we should just pull our money together and buy the place and quit this 9-to-5 job. You know, we both knew we didn't have the money to do it, but, you know, it was a dream. You know, it was a fantasy, but, yeah.
So tell me, so it's interesting now that it's, you know, here it is, the fantasy does play out in the pages. Tell us about Maggie and tell us about the bed and breakfast story.
Okay, well, Maggie, she's actually starting her life over after she loses her husband to cancer at a young age. Before he died, he wanted her to go on and follow their dreams, which was to open up a bed and breakfast. And when he passed, he left her a large insurance policy, you know, so she'd be able to do that. She gets help from her sister and friends, of course, to get the bed and breakfast up and running. Soon after that, her husband's brother comes to take a visit and actually pay his respects to his brother. And he ends up staying at her bed and breakfast to help her out as a handyman. And Maggie starts, you know, having feelings for him, you know, and she's feeling bad about having feelings for him. And it's a mutual thing. Then Maggie's mother actually comes back into her life after she had left the girls when, you know, she was about five. At least that's what Maggie thought. But when she shows up, she finds out that her mother has pneumocoma, and she didn't actually leave the girls. She actually forgot them and moved on to a whole new life. You know, Maggie never looked for her because she figured, you know, she just left. And of course, she also comes to the realization that this disease is hereditary, and she might get this, you know, mind-erasing disease as well, along with her sisters.
Ooh, boy, and there are so many other twists to the story. We don't want to give them all away.
Yes.
Maggie, bed and breakfast. It's so easy to do because I'm getting, you know, you get pulled into the story. Maggie's bed and breakfast.
Stop talking, yeah.
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold. So you have Maggie's bed and breakfast, and then you go into your other book, The Book of Scattered Memories. Tell us about that. What's that about?
Yeah, this is, you know, of course, part two, and it's kind of a backstory to her mother, and it's all done in a diary. So, you know, it revolves around her mother's diary, and it's like a diary in a box reveals the secrets of the past and the future that's bound to unfold, which kind of sums it up. She finds her mother's diary after her mother passes away, and, you know, she starts reading this diary. And she decides to read it to herself first before she, you know, brings it to her sister's attention. But while reading this, she discovers things from her mother's past that she wonders if it's real or if it's just a bunch of her mother's scattered memories. And, you know, she starts reading, like, the first entry, you know, June 1st, 1984. You know, I meet a nice man today fishing. His name is John White. He has a beautiful little girl, one-year-old girl named Marty. And Maggie just, like, drops a diary because all along Marty was her sister, you know. So now she's finding out that Marty's not her sister, you know, and how she was going to tell her sister that they're not really related, you know, and the story kind of continues that way. She reads a part of the diary that brings together things of her mother's past and so on.
Ooh, so I'm just thinking out loud. How many of you listening to this, can you imagine finding your mother's diary? When my mother died, I did find some writings, and it didn't reveal anything like your character has revealed, which is wild. But it is interesting to think about that. What a great road to go down in coming up with these stories. Where do you get your ideas?
You know, I just, like I said, I got this program, and it was just so easy to use, and, you know, I was just trying to put myself into running, you know, running a bed and breakfast, and how it would, you know, how it would feel to do that, and I don't know, it just kind of came to me. I just started writing, and I thought, okay, I'm going to throw a diary in there. Let's throw some twists to this story.
I like it.
And
when people read this, when people are listening to this, they go and they want to get into a good series and some good novels, and they read both of these books, what do you hope they take away?
Well, you know, my stories are fiction, but for me, you know, they're true to life kind of stories. So I believe they're relatable. In other words, I think that they might be able to put themselves in the position of my characters, you know, and you know, I love writing the strong women characters. And so, you know, I would just hope that they would get lost into my stories and enjoy my stories. you know, as much as I did enjoy writing them.
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of a little family affair because your daughter and granddaughter and the cover, how'd that come about?
Well, yeah, I because of the story, they have a lot of fishing in my story. That's kind of like their pastime. And I had taken my daughter and granddaughter down to Fairmont Park and gave them fishing poles. And we took a bunch of pictures that day. And I went through the pictures, and the pictures that I have on there, I thought, you know, this is the perfect Maggie, and this is the perfect Tina. So, yeah, so it's kind of personal to me.
It's funny you say that, because if you read the Book of Scattered Memories of Maggie's Bed and Breakfast story, the very first chapter, the new fishing spot.
Right. Yeah, it's all about fishing for them. There's a problem. They're all going fishing.
That sounds good to me. Yeah. Absolutely. Was it fun for you? Was it fun for you to write this? I mean, it's like you're a daydreamer and you escape into this, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it really was. Like I said, when I first started writing it, this is actually, I'm redoing my story. So, you know, they were done like 10 years ago. And so I'm rebranding them now. But yeah, I had a really good time writing it. But at the time, it was just going to be for me. And the covers were kind of plain, but they were personal because they were, you know, my daughter and my granddaughter. So, you know, and then after some time went by and I got a call saying, let's rebrand, I thought, yeah, why not share my stories, you know, to the public?
Yeah.
So here I am.
Absolutely. You know, it kind of reminds me, like, it makes me think of Hallmark. It makes me think of those kinds of stories, which couldn't be more popular. Can you imagine if this, I don't know, somehow got picked up and it was on the screen?
Oh, that would be a dream. Yeah, I mean, I've had some people tell me, you know, your book is so predictable. And I tell them, you know, but it's like a Hallmark movie. In the first 10 minutes, you kind of figure out who's gonna get together. And at the end, they're going to seal it with a kiss. But it's the ride in between. So, yeah, I mean, if they want to pick this up as a Hallmark movie, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, dreams can come true, that's for sure.
And dream, some of yours, that's it. That's what it's about, dream. Dream big.
And some of yours have definitely come true. Thank you so much for coming on. Again, you can get the books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Ava, what a delight to speak with you.
You too. You have a great day.
Wow, I love these authors that we have on when they have some time and there's things that they're thinking about. And she talked about, she does this program and then comes up with these ideas. And the book really is so well written. It's great storytelling and it does pull you in. And so I'm not surprised in the comparisons to what the Hallmark movie or some of those Netflix movies, what they do, how they take you with a really big, interesting beginning and then take you through the story. And I think you really are rooting for Maggie. That's what I would say. And the idea that in the second book that she finds the diary, wow, that's one of those moments, I think, that it's when people are going through their mother's things, their parents' things, and they come across something like that, it's do you dare open it or what do you do? And she's got it there wrapped in the story. So well done. Thanks to Ava for coming on and all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.